We've been talking about Job for several weeks. We go to James chapter 5, tells us exactly what we need to notice when we study Job, when we read Job. Verse 11, so we'll read it one more time. If you're new here, anytime you want to rehear the teaching, you can order a CD at the back table. Susan will help you do that. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We talked about endurance. We talked about patience. Patience is when you continue on, when you're steadfast, when you're unmovable, when you're unchanging. Job was very patient. When the word of his disaster came, it says he fell on his face and worshiped God. He didn't change because there was great disaster. I went to a funeral years ago, and the family raised their hands and began to worship God right there over the casket. I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. They're not going to change because they had this tragedy. They're not turning loose of God. They're drawing closer to God and letting him know, we trust you, God. Well, Job didn't understand God. Job is a book of extremes. Job was extremely wealthy. He was extremely devastated and extremely ignorant, but he was extremely rescued after he was extremely repentant. So it's a book of great extremes. But you've seen the devil came and wanted Job to curse God, but he refused to curse God. It says he didn't charge God. And then his wife came along and said, curse God and die. And he said, you're a foolish woman. So no matter what happened in Job's life, he stuck with God. He didn't understand God. He didn't have right information about God, but he stuck with God. And that's what patience does. It has a goal, and it moves steadily towards that goal. Now, endurance is that quality, that strength of heaven that holds you steady while you get to the goal. Endure doesn't mean that we're going to stand in one spot and be beat up till we die. You know, people die of tragic reasons, and somebody said, oh, she really endured. She really hung in there to the end. Well, that's not this word, endurance. I don't know what that quality is. It's losing. Now, you never lost when you went to heaven. That's for sure. But endurance has to do with the strength of heaven that holds you steady, that keeps you patient till you get to where you need to be, till you get to the great victory provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're on mercy, and last week we talked about the mercy of the Lord. You're supposed to notice mercy when you go through the book of Job. Patience and mercy, those are the two highlights. It's a good thing James told us that, because we wouldn't have noticed. All we know about Job is he suffered a lot. But we can notice, now we notice, because the Holy Ghost inspired James to write to us about patience and mercy. The word mercy, compassion, and pitiful are basically the same word. There are different words used, but they're all interchanged. They're all, compassion means to have mercy, and have mercy means to be pitiful, and to be pitiful means to be merciful, and to be merciful means to be compassionate. So that it's like a round robin. No matter what word they use, they have those basic three meanings. Now, we use the word pitiful to mean, oh, it wasn't that pitiful. But that's not this word. This word, compassionate, pity, and mercy, means that you have a plan of action to help or relieve somebody. God had a plan to help to relieve Job, and he's going to come to Job with some right information. He's going to tell Job where his thinking has been wrong so Job can be repentant and be restored. And any time you have mercy, you have a plan of action. We talked last week about the Good Samaritan. You know, a man that was beaten, left by the wayside. The Levite came, passed him by. The priest came, passed him by. But the Good Samaritan stopped, poured in oil and wine, put him on his donkey, took him towards the inn, and he said, if he needs anything when I come back, I'll pay for that as well. So he had a plan of action, a plan of rescue. And mercy and compassion always has a plan of rescue. It's not like sympathy, where sympathy says, I'm so sorry. I hope things work out for you. And you may never even think of it again. Sympathy is fine in its place, but it doesn't have the strength of compassion. Because compassion always says, what can I do? How can I help you? Compassion searches its heart to be helpful. Now in the 145th Psalm, it says the Lord is gracious. It's a different word, and yet it's a word that is as powerful. And when somebody's gracious, they have a plan of action. They want to do something for you. They're searching for something to do. Now it's amazing what religion has done to the compassion, the graciousness of God. They've magnified his power. They've talked about his strength and abilities without telling you about his willingness and compassion and mercy and pity and graciousness is God's willingness to use his power to rescue you. You know, if I have lots and lots of money, and you know I have lots and lots of money, and you know I could give you a loan or just give you money, just write you a check, Years ago, a lady came to me and needed a vast, vast sum of money. She says, my friend has money. I'm going to ask her if she would give me the money. Well, I was horrified. I never heard such a story in my life. I said, oh, I don't think that's wise. But she did it anyway, and her friend said, sure, and just wrote the check. A very, very large check. Now, when she went, she didn't have any idea whether or not her friend would do that. So she didn't go in faith. She went in hope.